So as I mentioned, Teen Challenge is here this morning, and I'm excited about it. One of my favorite things is hearing stories of people that have experienced God. And so, and I always point this out whenever we're gathered on a Sunday morning, that maybe you're here and you're not sure where you stand with God. And I always want to point out, hey, we're glad you're here. We're glad that you're in a place that is talking about Jesus and his power. But I'll just tell you, one of the things that I love about testimonies is you can't argue with someone's experience, right? And so for me, we talk a lot about Scripture here, and we preach from Scripture because we believe that God has given us his Scripture to point us to him and to show us how to follow him. But it's easy for you and I, okay, we're sitting there to disagree with something that's being taught from Scripture and be like, oh, I don't really know. And one of the things that I always wrestle with too is I'm like I love the teachings of Scripture, but I want to see the effect of it right now in my life. Like, I want to see the effect of it right now in our community. So reading the Scriptures and thinking, oh, God brought all this change and did these things 2,000 years ago, I mean, that's great, but I'm not huge on, like, just studying history. I mean, it's cool, it's interesting, but when you start seeing God do stuff right now, like, active right now, that gets exciting. And the reason God gave us his Scriptures isn't to say, I want you just to be educated on everything that happened in the past. It was because he wants us to get to know him now, so that we can walk in his grace and his power right now. And one of the best ways of seeing that is just hearing someone's testimony of what God is doing in their life. And so just to really encourage you this morning, open your heart as we hear some of these stories and hear about the ministry of Teen Challenge. And I'm just believing and praying for the Lord to speak to us this morning as we listen. So I'll invite Corey up to lead us away.
Thanks, Pastor Nathan. Well, like Pastor Nathan, I'm also very, very excited to hear stories all the time. I look forward to testimonies, even when I've heard these. We go to from church to church to encourage people, put hope within reach, and I hear these testimonies over and over. But you know what? The amazing thing about hearing the same testimony over, there's something that changes each time because our days are changing each day. And I love hearing these guys' testimony. I could listen to you guys share your... Seriously, you guys could tell me your testimony over and over all day. I'd still love it because it encourages us. It lifts us up inside and gets us filled with real hope. Not, you know, it's not false hope. It's something that we can live with. And I'm the same as Pastor Nathan. I don't have to see something to believe that God is real, but it helps my faith to grow when I hear somebody's story of how they've had an encounter with God in a very relevant way today or yesterday. So those of you who don't know what Teen Challenge is or like who we are or what we do, we're like a Bible college boot camp and a treatment center kind of wrapped up into one. So we're really intense. We're really passionate. We get really excited, and we try to go to churches and set them on fire, not literally, spiritually, of course, because we don't want the buildings to be burnt down. It's important that people have a place to gather together and believe with one another. But we are, when we go somewhere, we want people to get excited with us. We don't want to just sit at home at Teen Challenge and be excited there and just keep the excitement there. We want to bring that out with us. And the reason why we're so excited is because we've been transformed from a life of selling dope or using dope to now having hope. And that's a very important thing, to have hope, because without hope, you've got no reason to live, right? So we're really excited that we now have hope. We didn't have hope at one time, all of us. Hey, we were all hopeless. We're sitting in our little dark pit somewhere, hopeless. Yeah, Jesse just said it. We were losers. That's exactly how we felt. We felt like we were losers. But now we went from losers and users to praisers of God, to dealers of hope, you know. And it's so amazing to be able to do that. So, the history of Teen Challenge is pretty simple. 1958, 60 years ago, 61 years ago, 1958. Reverend David Wilkerson traveled from Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, to New York City, and got kicked out of the court. And from that day forward, the gangs of New York City, they have favored him. Hey, this guy, we can relate to this guy. He got kicked out of the courts. They don't like him. And he just began to pour out God's love on the streets. And as he began to pour out God's love on the streets, he started giving hope to some of these gang members who were like, really, they had no hope. And that evolved into 1,400 centers in over 120 different countries all around the world. Now, that's amazing. That's a legacy that he left behind. Now, that legacy that he left behind, it's all about Jesus Christ. Pastor Nathan nailed it. You know, that's what we do at Teen Challenge. We don't just take people that are struggling with addiction and give them a place to live. We point them in the direction of Jesus. We say, this is the man that you need to follow. You want to be successful here, right now, and forever, you need to follow Jesus. That's the only way. Now, how do we do that, right? That's the real challenge, and that's what discipleship's all about, showing someone how to do it day by day, minute by minute. And guys, is Teen Challenge easy or what? It's the hardest thing you've ever done, right? But has anybody ever heard the expression? I'm sure you've all heard this expression, that good things don't come easy. Right? They do not come easy. So, and Jesus is a great thing. So obviously it's not an easy thing. But that's okay. It doesn't have to be easy. It shouldn't be easy. It's no fun if it's easy. You know, I mean, how much fun would you have if you were, you know, if you were like, we'll just use NHL because these guys are all getting prepped for the playoffs. Can you imagine if you were like, so good of a team that you didn't even have to try to beat every other team? All you had to do is step on the ice and just be there. That was it. And you would win. I mean, how fun would that be? That wouldn't be fun at all. I mean, yeah, okay, you'd have the cup at the end, but you'd have no fun in the process. So that's what I'm really excited about. I'm really excited about these guys' testimonies this morning. And before we get into testimony time, which is going to be really exciting, we're going to just a couple of updates just to let you guys know what's going on. You probably know our Women's Center is open. We do have women actually living there now, going through the program. So if you know anybody in this city that's struggling, that's a woman, I have cards in my right pocket of my jacket for Jennifer Huja, Pastor Jen, who is the women's director. And so if you need one of those cards to pass on to somebody, please come see me after. I'll get one of those in your hands. And the men's center is technically full right now. There's one bed, but there's a guy coming April 26th from BC. Keep him in your prayers. His name is Brendan, and he's looking to restore his life. He has a family. He has a wife and kids, and he's leaving a poultry farm behind in BC to come and get closer to God. So keep him in your prayers as he gets prepared. And we have one guy on our waiting list right now who is in the local prison system here, and he's going through the intake process. And if there's anybody else here that knows somebody or somebody that's here right now that would like to have their life transformed in a radical way and go through a really tough challenge but become a better person and live a life of excitement and be loved on by all these amazing men here, I'm telling you, man, there's nothing better than to be in a house full of men that used to be addicted to drugs and now addicted to Jesus. It's the best experience you'll ever go through. I mean, you don't have to watch your back because they got your back for you. And you don't have to worry about where your food's coming from because it's always prepared at the end of the day for you. You know, and you don't have to worry about where you're going to work because there's always somewhere to work. Hey, always somewhere to work. And you're doing it for a good reason. Hey, you're not doing it to maybe have a knife in your side or a gun to your head. You're doing it because God's called you to do it. So we're really, this is three guys this morning that are going to be sharing are graduating next Sunday. Oh, I know, and it's the same night as your prayer, but that's okay. You know what? You got to go to prayer. You go to prayer. But if God's pulling at your heart, saying come, be encouraged by these guys, and celebrate their graduation with them. It's next Sunday, 6:30 p.m. at New Hope Church. That's 532 North Edward Street. If you want to come and join us, please do. If you got to go to that prayer thing, hey, go to that prayer. Prayer is just as important as celebrating graduations. Actually, probably more important than celebrating graduations, right? Because these guys wouldn't be graduating without prayer. Amen? Hey. And we're really excited that Noah, Steve, and Jesse are graduating. We're also very excited that we have, you know, other men that are being raised up to be warriors in God's army, Lance and Jeremy, Trent and Elijah. We're really excited that these guys are being trained up to be soldiers for Jesus, not just for right here in Thunder Bay, but for different parts of the world too, because God sometimes calls as individuals, he calls us to go be plugged in somewhere else, maybe Africa or maybe Jamaica or maybe Aruba or who knows where, right? You don't know. Only God knows right now. So that's it for updates. We're about to get into testimonies. Before we do, I just wanted to, everybody knows this passage that knows about testimonies for God. Revelation 12:11 says that they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Are you guys afraid to die right now?
No.
Amen. Why aren't you afraid to die? Yeah, amen. Amen. That's what testimony is all about. And if you're not with the Lord right now, you're probably afraid to die. I know I was. But now that I know where I'm going, I know I got God on my side. It doesn't matter. So I got to share this with you because this is so important as we go into testimony time. We have these Bibles that we just picked up. They're called Fire Bibles, and I love fire because fire is such an amazing source of power and warmth, and I believe that as it represents the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives, the power that he performs through our lives. So in 12:11, our Fire Bible says that they have conquered him. Faithful followers of Christ on earth have access to an effective strategy for overcoming Satan's schemes and accusations. It's not a matter of their own power or abilities or efforts, but it has everything to do with what Christ has already done. Jesus already did it, and the victory he has already won for us. So all we have to do to be free from our addictions, to be free from the sickness of this world, is we just have to set our eyes on Jesus and follow after him day by day by day. And we can't do it on our own. We weren't meant to do it on our own. So we have to do it as a team, as an army. We have to do it side by side. It's the only way. The enemy wants to isolate us, but we need to stay together. And, you know, you can be a part of God's army by coming to the Super Thrift, and you get to see Noah hard at work for Jesus there at Super Thrift, right? And, you know, Noah's got a pretty amazing testimony. He's been in Teen Challenge for a long time now. He should be a staff right now, actually. No, he's working on it. He's working on it. So, Noah, why don't you come on up, and why don't you encourage these awesome people with what God's been doing in your life?
All right, so bear with me. My throat is kind of sore today. Well, my name is Noah. I am 19 years old, and I am from Winnipeg, Manitoba. I grew up in a pretty regular household. I know both my mom and my dad. My dad was always in and out of my life growing up due to his own mental health issues. He was a very angry person. He worked a way to support us, and whenever he was back, he did his best, but he was, like I said, he was a very angry person. He didn't know how to deal with his emotions. He didn't really like his life very much. And from that, I became a very angry person. Growing up, I didn't have a whole lot of friends. I was always constantly moving from one city to another city to try and, the grass is always greener on the other side. My mom would have issues, and she was like, okay, we'll just move, and this time will be different. This time will be different. We'll just move. And so I didn't have a whole lot of friends. I couldn't have a big friend base, so I had a really low self-image of myself. I didn't really think too highly of myself, and in order to kind of make friends and fit in, I started smoking weed when I was about 11, and experimenting with other drugs and harder drugs, and drinking on a constant basis, and I started drinking every day when I was about 13, and smoking crack, and when I was 14, I was introduced to crystal meth, and when I started shooting crystal meth, I had dropped out of school, I had moved out of my mom's place, and was doing nothing with my life. The next few years after that was a really long, slippery slope down. I spent a lot of time in jail. I spent a lot of time in different treatment centers. I spent a lot of time being homeless and then getting arrested and going to treatment and telling my family, hey, this time is different. This time is different. I'm sober. But it was just, it was all a fraud, and I'd go and live with them, and eventually just go right back to my addiction. And so because of that, everybody that cared about me and tried to love me eventually disappeared because they could not handle my issues. And because of that, my self-image, I felt worthless. I began living a very reckless lifestyle, selling drugs and ripping people off, and trying to make money in any way that I could. And I got to a point where I hated my life. I hated my life so much I did not want to be here. So I tried committing suicide several times, and after several failed attempts, I got really scared of death. I didn't know what was on the other side. I didn't know where I was going if I were to die, and so because of that, I just started just going all out and not really caring about my body, not caring about who I was with or what I was doing. And I was kidnapped in the summer of 2017 for some people that I owed some money to, and I was held hostage for 3 days, and just spitting in their face, telling them to kill me because I did not want to live anymore. And for some odd, twisted way, I felt that if I was murdered, it would be better off than me killing myself. I'm not too sure how that really worked out, but they let me go, and I just had no control. I went to jail back in the end of November 2017, and I just couldn't do it anymore. So I tried a few different rehab programs, tried calling them, and none of them would answer, none of them would get back to me. And a friend of mine who graduated Teen Challenge gave me Pastor Corey's number prior. So I called him, and within like the first two phone calls, I called him, and I had a bed available for me and set for me. And I went to court, and they were either looking at giving me 4 years in prison as a youth, or go to Teen Challenge, and they said, this is your last chance, Noah. And so I got released. I had 24 hours to make it to Thunder Bay, so I came directly from Winnipeg to Thunder Bay, and I walked in the house, and none of the guys were home, and Kevin Chambers, he's a very huggy kind of person. He came up and started hugging me, and I just started crying, and bawling my eyes out, because I knew that I was where I was supposed to be. You know, I've been here a long time. I've been here. I crammed a 12-month program into 18 months, and I'm finally almost done. But it just goes to show that, you know, nobody's perfect. I'm still that sometimes that scared little kid, that scared, angry little kid I was 15 years ago. But I am surrounded by people that love me, and I'm surrounded by people that care about me. And, you know, God grants us the desires of our heart. And all I wanted growing up was a family. All I wanted growing up was people that loved me and cared for me. And God's given me that. It's not a very easy thing going through Teen Challenge. I've made some mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes while I've been here. And I probably will continue to make mistakes going through being done, but I'm excited to be able to be in a place where I'm allowed to make mistakes and not feel any condemnation. And one scripture that I lean on most is Deuteronomy 31:6, and it's, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, for the Lord God will personally go ahead of you. He will not abandon you or forsake you. And it's just so comforting to know that when I was in my deepest, darkest pit, when I was homeless and 115 pounds, eating out of trash cans and dumpsters and no hope whatsoever, he was there the entire time, and he had his hand on me, and he has his hand on you, no matter where you are, no matter how far you think you might be gone. He's there, and he won't abandon you or forsake you. He's there. And yeah, that's a little bit about me. Thank you.
Hey, can you picture this guy eating out of dumpsters? Like, it the transformation. It's a miracle. I mean, and that's what God wants to do with each one of us. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged when I hear these testimonies. It reminds me of my past too, because, you know, I wasn't always a pastor. I mean, you don't grow up being a pastor. You don't grow up dreaming to be a pastor. And you know, I spent 22 years of my life doing the same thing that Noah did for a part of his life. And thank God Thank God that His grace is sufficient. Thank God that His mercy reaches out to every crack and crevice of this earth, because when you're living your life not caring to live anymore, you know, not knowing where you're going to go, that's a scary way to live. The moment, though, that you have that hope is the moment that you feel like, hey, there really is a reason to live. And if Noah can be pulled out of a dumpster, if I can be pulled out of a crack shack, if Jesse can be pulled out of a casino, if Steve can be pulled out of death's grips and put up on a platform where God can be displayed, it's not about us, right? It's about God that's in us and doing this amazing work, and it's for something that's so much better than what we're experiencing right now. I mean, we just get glimpses of what God's doing right now. So exciting. And, you know, we got to continue to pray for one another. Church, we know how important prayer is. I've experienced that every time I come here. You guys really, I love how this church really embraces the importance of prayer, because without prayer, God does not move into action and intervene, because that's what God has called us to do. He's called us to pray for one another. I mean, I know, I believe that God sends His angels. There are miraculous situations that take place that we hear about, maybe we don't get to experience personally, but God's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. He's called us to do that. So don't stop praying for this ministry, and don't stop praying for one another, because just when you think that somebody is hopeless, it's not true. It's a lie. There is hope for them. It doesn't matter how far gone they seem. It doesn't matter how lost in their addiction they might seem. Man, there is hope for them, just like there was for Noah, hey? And just like there is for Jesse, hey? So, Jesse, why don't you come on up and bless everyone with your story.
Well, I just want to say, like, last time, I don't know when the last time we came here was, but I think it was like almost a year ago, and I'm just so encouraged, like when we were worshiping this morning, like just like this congregation has literally like doubled since the last time I've been here, and it was so encouraging to see, like, Pastor Nathan, we love you and your family and what you're doing here, and we support you in any way we can, and it's so encouraging just to see where God's taking you guys and taking this church, and so I'm encouraged by that, so thanks for having us. My name's Jesse. As Pastor Corey said, I am 24 years old, I think, now I just turned. And I was born and raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Go Jets, go. Playoff time, Wednesday. Go Jets. But yeah, I just grew up in a pretty regular household. Like, my dad was pretty successful, and my mom was kind of doing her own thing, like accounting and stuff. And I had a lot of siblings, and my dad would rent out the house rooms to people to kind of get extra income or whatever. And it was just crazy, like, growing up in an environment like that where there's so many people at so many different times doing so many different things. And it was kind of hard on me, I guess, growing up being, like, the second youngest. I started acting out and acting all crazy at the age of, like, 3, jumping out of my crib and looking to see if my mom or my dad was watching. I literally walk out the front door at the age of 3 and like walk down the street, and my neighbor would have to like bring me back. Like, I would be doing crazy stuff like that, have an outburst, and my family basically got just confused and took me to doctors to see psychiatrists at that age, and I was actually diagnosed at a young age with a bunch of different stuff like bipolar and depression and all that, and they put me on a bunch of heavy pharmaceutical drugs to try and fix what was ever wrong with me or whatever as a little kid. And I grew up kind of going through that cycle of doctors and not being able to stay in class or go to school or whatever because I was always acting out. And when I was 14, I was just finished a year-long mental health treatment program, and I went back to my school where all my friends were, and kind of everything kind of seemed like it was back to normal. And I got invited to go to this church called Oasis in Winnipeg. And I just walked in that door and I just experienced a love that I've never really experienced before. I thought it was just the people. I didn't know that it was actually God working through those people. So I became very attached to my friends that I made there instead of being attached to God, which I think was all a part of the plan. But Yeah, like I became dependent on my friends. I became dependent on my youth pastor. And I guess I got hurt by a couple different people a couple years after I started going there. And I eventually fell into the partying scene in high school and drinking, and eventually became addicted to gambling. That was my main addiction. And when I started going to the casino and stuff, like, I did not care about anybody but myself. If you're my grandma, my grandpa, my mom, my dad, I would do anything to get money from you. I would lie to you. I would tell you that people are trying to kill me to get money, and eventually, like, burnt every single bridge possible. And my pastor actually had to sit me down and be like, listen, you need serious help. We cannot condone this type of behavior. So you can't, like, come to our church anymore until you get help, because you need to get help. We'll support you in any way we can, but you're hurting people too much, like screwing people out of money or whatever. And after that, I was like 19 years old, and every year of my adult life, I spent time in jail because I wasn't ready to get help. I was committing crime to feed my addiction. And it was just a really reckless lifestyle. And I got released from jail in November 2017, started committing crime again. I remember I cashed this bad check on February 14th, 2018. I was like, I went to the track, won a bunch of money. I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the casino. If I can hit it big, I'm leaving Winnipeg. I'm done with this town. And it was just, I don't know. I went to the casino, and like in that mindset I had, like the type of hands I had at the blackjack table, I should have won, but I lost like $1,500 in like 5 minutes. Like, hand after hand after hand after hand, I was just losing. And I went home with $40. I took a cab, gave the guy the $40. I went home, and I was literally just like, I just said a simple prayer. I said, Lord, if you're there, you're going to help me. I need your help. I need you to help me with some sort of treatment center. I've heard about Teen Challenge before, and I was like, whatever you can help me with, if you can get me to Teen Challenge Thunder Bay, because I wasn't going to do the one in Winnipeg. And I said, if you can do that for me at some point in the next near future, I will honor that, and I'll give it 100%, and I know that you'll work through that. And that was like at 3 in the morning, and literally at 9 a.m., my brother knocked on my door, and he said, you're coming with me for the day, pack your stuff, and I'm driving to the airport that night to go to Teen Challenge Thunder Bay. So for me, that was an answered prayer. I came to Teen Challenge that February 16th, and I started to kind of, I just knew that if God was there, I'm giving 100%, he'll do anything he can tell me. He's not just going to let me just go through this program and not get changed. So I had to put in the effort of being in 100%, but through that, I just knew he was going to work. So I made that oath with God, or that deal with God, that if you can help me, I'll give it 100%. And the first scripture I actually read, I opened up my Bible, and it was the next day after I came here, the next few days, and it was Proverbs 16:33. It says, you may roll the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall. And so that was a really big testament for what happened the nights previous at the casino, because I truly believe God was there, and he stopped me from winning because he saw what was going to happen. He saw it was going to take me to lose all that money to be willing to cry out to him. And ever since I've been here, there's countless things that God's been doing. But one of the things I find really interesting, Pastor Nathan, that you were touching on, is the word, and how it's for us today, and we want to see things like that. Because throughout my program, like, sometimes when I don't hear God's voice or something, or I know to go to the Word. I know God speaks through the Word. And so there's been situations where I'll open up my Bible and it's just completely just relevant. And it takes the Spirit to reveal what he's trying to say through that. So one of the things that I was getting frustrated in my program, like, it sounds bad getting frustrated, but one of the things, like, people were, they have this program after you're done, and it's called Surge, and it's a year and 6 months. And I was getting frustrated with people because, like, people would, my leaders and stuff, or director of Teen Challenge, they would be coming to me and be like, you should do Surge. Like, I believe you're supposed to do Surge. And I was like, yeah, it tickled my ear a bit to hear that. But I was like, one day I just got fed up with, like, what's going on. I was like, God, these people believe in you. They follow you. I know you speak to them. But, Lord, for this kind of decision, I need to hear your voice. You're my shepherd. I'm your child. I'm gonna hear your voice. So I need you to show me. And I actually, like, opened up my Bible randomly to Acts, and I started reading Acts. And through Acts, I was just on the same page, actually. Sorry, I don't remember it but I'm going to read it. Pastor Craig doesn't know this, or Pastor Nathan doesn't know this, but I was planning on bringing the word today, but I'm just kidding. But yeah, so basically what happened is I opened up my Bible kind of like that. I started reading, and I was asking God, okay, what do you want me to do for my future, Lord? And then I opened it up, and it came to this verse, Acts 18:9. It says, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision," and these are the words of Jesus, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. And right immediately I was like, thank you, Lord, like, for revealing that to me. And so I'm graduating next week. I'm approved for the Surge program to kind of take Bible school training and how to be a leader and help people like myself and show them that there is hope. And I was with a group of young adults last night, like some of my close friends in Thunder Bay I got to know. And it's interesting what you're saying about like just like how God has like a special plan for the city, because that was our theme last night. That's been a theme on my heart. Like, the church in this city is so connected and so they just walk in unity with each other, meeting with other pastors and stuff. And I truly believe God can change this city in a way that we've never seen before. And I'm just really happy to be a part of it. Like, and we were just praying that last night. Like, let's not get complacent with our lives. Like, one of the words he gave me was like, when we're on the boat on the sea and Jesus is walking on the water, it's like, let's not hold on to the boat. Let's get out of the boat and where the oceans are just never ending. Let's get out of the boat and walk with him where things will never end. The opportunities will never end. And let go of the boat. Like, stop hanging on to the boat of, oh, I need to have this career, I need to do this, or I need to do that, or I can't share love of Jesus because that person's going to make me feel crazy, or I'm going to be looked at like I'm just nuts. Like, let go of the boat. Start walking with Jesus. As soon as all of us start doing that in unity, this city is literally going to change. This city is literally going to come to know God. And so that's my hope while I'm here in Thunder Bay. Like, I'm going to start volunteering with my time with other ministries and whatever I can do to help. But we this is an important time. Like, I want to see, like you're saying, these things that happened in the Old Testament happened in the days of Jesus. Those things are for now. And even greater things will we do than raise people from the dead. Like, so let's get started. Let's be encouraged. God's going to move this city in ways in the next couple years that we... some cities could never imagine, but God's good. And yeah, that's a little bit about what God's been showing me and what he's done in my life. So thanks for letting me share. You guys are awesome.
If you guys have the time or even have the tools to go online and check out the 1961 prophecy of Tommy Hicks, it's a prophecy about revival starting out in Winnipeg and Thunder Bay, and I believe that we're living in that time. I believe that we're going to be a part of that revival. I believe the revival has already started in the hearts of many people in Thunder Bay here, and this is a perfect example, this church right here. And there's other examples that you guys aren't seeing because this is your local place to come and gather together. But I'm telling you right now, what Jesse just said, what Nathan's heart is and Pastor Gene's heart is, the church is, it's united in a sense right now, but it's going to be more united. Matter of fact, these buildings are not even going to be important. We're all going to be leaving these buildings and gathering together in large groups, and we're going to be going out into the streets, and we're going to be reaching the people right where they're at. We're not going to wait for them to come into the building, because the building isn't really the church, right? We know that. We believe that, and I know that we share that together, and that's really the heart of discipleship. Is getting out there and putting Jesus right before people, not shoving Jesus down people's throats, because nobody needs that. We don't need to have food shoved down our throat either, right? Like, it's the same thing, spiritual food. Just give it to somebody that's spiritually hungry. They'll take it, they'll eat it. And as they begin to eat it, they'll become more and more hungry for it. And then the church has exploded. Forget the building, right? Forget the building. So do we have time for one more testimony? Hallelujah. Because we don't want to, I mean, testimonies are so important. I know you guys are encouraged right now. I can sense it. It's, you know, there's an electric feeling right now in the atmosphere here. And that's the Holy Spirit moving through testimony. power of testimony, power of the blood of Jesus. Steve, come on up and share.
Good morning, everybody.
This does not get easy. And but it's cool that it's not me that's speaking, it's Jesus, and he gives me the confidence to say whatever's on my heart. So I was just thinking there to myself, and I was really pondering on what I was going to say, and I was really thinking I'm really all about God's promises and who he says we are. And in my past, I was always it was very dark. It was very confused. And I was thinking to myself, and I'm thinking, it's so messed up how in my past I was so lied to, I was so confused, and it was so dark. And it's so cool that God revealed to me that He sees us as so much worth, and we're so valuable to Him. And I never knew this as before I met the Lord, and it's so cool to see his promises. And I was looking at a scripture this morning, and it's Psalm 139:14, and it says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just love those promises, and I just love how God sees us, and it just helps me, because in my past I built such a negative self-image about myself, and so it's pretty cool to see how God's revealed to me. So I'm 35 years old. I'm from Calgary, Alberta, and my mother was an alcoholic, and she used to leave me home alone when I was 3 years old, and my dad was never around. I haven't even seen pictures of him, never know who he was, and so I got taken away from my mother when I was 3, so I was in foster homes all my life, in and out of foster homes, and a lot of these foster homes were very abusive, and a lot of stuff. And you know, I go to school, and I'd see kids go to their parents, and they had a parents to go to, and I always was so angry and so frustrated, and I felt like I always got the short end of the stick, and I'm like, why me, and like, why is this happening to me, like, what did I do? And I built this self-image of myself, and so I looked to be loved and accepted and needed, and I looked to violence, I look to crime, I look to drinking and drugs and stuff to numb the pain and stuff to make me feel satisfied. And I was always looking for more and more stuff to make me feel content. And it's just like how the Bible says, you know, it's just like chasing the wind. All this stuff is like chasing the wind. It never satisfies. You always look for more. You always want more. And so I started to meet people and numb the pain, like with drugs and alcohol, and I go in and out of jail and crime and stuff like that to try to feed what I was looking for. And this whole time, Jesus is what I was looking for, and I finally found him, and he has installed into me, and I've just developed such a better image of myself, and I just love those scriptures, you know, how God says who we are. And I love, that's my favorite scripture, is we are God's masterpiece, and he has created us anew in Christ Jesus to do the good things he's prepared for us to do. And Ephesians 2:10, I just love those scriptures, that how God just says that we're so valuable in his eyes. And, you know, I just love how it says that we are chosen, and that we're blameless and holy in his sight, and it's so cool. And I have two beautiful children at home, and they're so proud of me, and it's so awesome to, when I'm on the phone, they're like, I'm so proud of you, Dad, and they're not mad at me, they're not like, where have you been, they know, they're that the age that they know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, they know that their dad is getting help, and it's so encouraging for that. Sometimes when I call, it's a little frustrating, but, and they're little brats sometimes, but... But, you know, like, it's so encouraging. And like I said, like, I know who I am in Christ. You know, I know that he's got a plan for my life. And I know that I God is restoring relationships, and I'm meeting new people that is healthy. And like, it's so amazing what God is showing me. And it's so cool. And I had this one quote that I remember to this day, and it says, "I was at the end of my rope, but I'm not at the end of my hope." And so I'm just encouraged by that, and I'm just so thankful for you guys listening to my testimony. That's a little bit about me. So thanks.
Is that encouraging? Or what? Can we just give God a hand for that? I know we're a few minutes longer than we usually go, and I want to finish with communion. But before we do that, we weren't planning to do this, but I would just love it if we could invite you guys to come up and stand here. And I'd like to just, once in the Teen Challenge guys, you guys can all come up and just kind of stand here. And what we'll do, I'd like to just gather around them, and if you would like to, if you're willing, just to come up and find a guy, put your hand on his shoulder, and let's just pray for these guys who are an incredible encouragement to us today. I didn't realize that there was going to be some prophetic words given too about what's going on in the city. And so God is speaking. It's awesome. And it's in line with what he's been showing to us. So maybe that's kind of a new thing for you, but come on up. Let's just gather around. We'll pray for these guys. And yeah, we want to do that. Hey, buddy. All right, let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you so much for this group, for Teen Challenge. What an encouragement it was this morning to hear testimonies of hope. Lord, for all of us, it's encouraging to know that there's hope no matter what's going on, that we're not at the end of our rope, because Jesus, through you can bring change and transformation that doesn't even make sense to our minds. And so, Lord, I just want to pray for each and every one of these guys, for Corey as representing the staff, Lord. And I just pray that each one of them would continue to grow in his walk with you. And Lord, the calling that you have on their lives, I pray, Lord, that they would go on to serve you in powerful ways, and that they would be able to share your light and your hope with people, not just in churches, but all over the place. I pray you give them just an ability to interact with people that are completely outside of the church, that right now have no hope, and that because of their story, there's an open door. And so I just pray that you bless each one of them. I pray you fill them with your spirit. And Lord, in this city of Thunder Bay, we need more places like Teen Challenge. We need Teen Challenge to have more houses. We need more recovery ministries that are Christ-centered. And so, Lord, we just thank you for what Teen Challenge is doing. And we pray for your blessing to be upon the ministry of Teen Challenge. I pray they'd be able to grow. I pray that, Lord, that there would be properties given to them so they could take in more people. I pray for more staff members, Lord. I pray that, Lord, even from the guys that are here right now, that you'd raise some of them up to be the staff members that are taking people in. And for the rest of their lives, they just live to serve you. It's not about our legacy. It's about you, Jesus. And so I just pray you'd raise these men up to serve you for the rest of their days, and that there'd be more ministries like this in this city. And we pray for your blessing and peace upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.